Welcome to the Peckberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from Scarlet Threads, the history of a mystery that the Bible calls Babylon. And we found that the new location is to be Rome. The man, according to the powers that be in that day, is to be Peter. In fact, Leo the First, leader of the church in the middle of the 5th century, said, "From the whole world, a single man, Peter, quote-unquote, is chosen and appointed to rank before all Gentiles and all apostles and all fathers of the church. It is expressly Peter who is to govern all whom Christ governs in the first place," end of quote. Thus, the headship of the new church is to be given to a man. Now, how the church can ignore the plain teachings on the body of Christ given by the apostles can only be explained in terms of Satan's slowly confusing, blinding ways among God's people. Paul states it clearly in Ephesians 1:22. God put all things under Christ's feet and gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. There's only one church. And it has only one head. The head is in heaven. The body is on earth. The head gives commands through various workings of the Spirit, including shepherds, pastors, not lords, gifts, miracles, and then the body responds. The church which has a human visible head is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And using the picture of priesthood, God is made up of High Priest Jesus and all of his believers. I didn't say God, I meant to say God's. And God's priesthood is made up of the high priest, Jesus, and all of his believers, who are all priests. Satan's priesthood is a poor mimic, but strong enough to deceive millions. It has an earthly high priest. It's located in a human capital. It boasts temples and cathedrals, but is doomed for destruction. Section 20 of the book in part 2 is called Babylon Baptized. All right, so the place now is Rome. Remember, we traced it from Babylonia to Assyria, back to Babylonia, back over to Medo-Persia, and then Greece, then pagan Rome, and then we've seen this slide now into papal Rome. Babylon is still with us. The place is Rome. The man supposedly is Peter. The worship, decidedly Babylonian. Even back in the second century, Tertullian of Carthage had noted, quote, "How much more faithful are the heathen in to their religion, who take special care to adopt no solemnity from the Christians." They don't copy anything from us, but we copy from them. No, not so the Christians. They begin to adapt quite nicely to their surroundings. Meeting pagans halfway becomes the in thing. In fact, Hyslop, in his Bible handbook, says, I'm sorry, in his epic Two Babylons book, says, "The paganism which Rome has baptized is in all of its essential elements the very paganism which prevailed in the ancient literal Babylon." As early as the Council of Nicaea, the question of Mary, via certain Egyptian Christians, is being introduced. Her titles, her prerogatives are suggested, but many of the questions remain unanswered at that early time. Even today, they're not totally dealt with. Babylonianism is in the church, so-called church, and it's not questioned, it's not understood. One of these Mary ideas is that perhaps the Holy Trinity ought to consist of the Father, the Messiah, and the Virgin Mary. How such blasphemy? Well, there's a logic to it. Let's go back to Babylonian practice. The Assyrian practice was to include the goddess of the air, or spirit, as a part of their Trinity. This is carried over to the Christian world by considering Mary as that same object of reverence. The air, the spirit, the capital S spirit, Mary, it's all the same, you see. Do you really? Please recall that I'm just reporting here. I don't believe this foolishness. I'm certain most Catholics do not either. But in the early church, the question was asked. I'm not certain that the possibility of such a doctrine was categorically denied. No matter. The cult of Mary will survive on other equally blasphemous ideas. She will be called, Mary will, like Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven. She will be praised as the house consecrated by God. Men will say she is the awful dwelling place, the mansion of God, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Trinity, in which men may safely come near to God, become man. She will be the mediatrix, end of quote. Mediatrix. Yeah, of the simple young lady named Mary. They will say, quote, the Lord himself created her in the Holy Ghost and poured her out among all his works. You see the connection there between Mary and the Holy Spirit in their thinking. In art, she will be portrayed with a circle of light above her head, as are goddesses in the Babylonian origin. The blue-eyed, golden-haired Madonnas of Babylon will be transformed into one with Mideastern complexion overnight. I'm still following Hyslop now and adding my amens. I quote, away then with the deadly delusion that Rome is Christian. Every day the grand mystery is revealing itself more and more in its true character. There is not, and there cannot be, any safety for the souls of men in Babylon. Come out of her, my people, is the loud and express command of God. And those who disobey that command do it at their peril. Section 21 is called Doctrinal Anathemas. The Babylonian system has been fond of making lists of anathemas or curses. In keeping with its character, it is also killed, that is, delivered to the secular arm, that's the precise wording, those killed, I say, who dared to defy her authority. I thought it appropriate to list some anathemas also. Though none shall be threatened with death by me, it's proper to warn all that what John said about adding and subtracting from his revelation is, I believe, equally true of any word from God. And so doctrines which come after the apostolic foundations were laid and immediately suspect. I'm using a list of Jorain Bother in a book called Roman Catholicism, pages 7 to 9. I would like to list a few of the teachings and practices that come from Rome and the approximate date that they began to be taught by and encouraged by official people, if not necessarily on the books officially. All the dates are A.D. Prayers for the dead, 310. The sign of the cross in 320. Veneration of angels and dead saints, 375. The daily mass, 394. The worship of Mary through the term Mother of God, 431. Priests clothed differently from laity, 500. Purgatory, 593. Latin as the standard language of church, 600. Kissing of the Pope's feet, 709. Temporal power of the popes, 750. Worship of the cross and images and relics, 788. Holy water, 850. The veneration of Saint Joseph, 890. The baptism of bells in 965. Canonization of dead saints, 995. Fasting on Fridays and during Lent, 998. The celibacy of the priesthood, 1079. The Rosary, 1090. The Inquisition of Heretics, 1184. The Sale of Indulgences, 1190. Confession of Sins to a Priest at least once a year, 1215. Adoration of a Wafer, 1220. Bible Forbidden to Laymen, 1229. The Scapular, 1251. The Cup Forbidden to the Laity, 1414. The apocryphal books added, 1546. The Immaculate Conception of Mary, 1854. Papal Infallibility, 1870. And the Assumption of Mary into Heaven, 1950. Now, the word veneration, by the way, is a clever Roman way to disguise the fact that worship of idols actually takes place in the Roman system. People are told, we don't really worship, we venerate. Everyone's closest friend at times like these, Mr. Webster, shows that the word venerate is derived from the Latin venerare. The first meaning of the Latin word venerare is to worship. Now, that was the 1972 Webster's New World Dictionary. Such is a short list of the areas in which the church put on the ways of Babylon and slowly became, did she not, the lady spoken of by John. For a full listing, just consult the ecumenical councils of the church down through history. It's a fascinating, very involved study. The changes I'm suggesting came about quite slowly. Only the spiritually perceptive in each generation could have noticed. But for us living in this day, comparing our New Testament with the monstrosity headquartered in Italy, can there be any serious doubt about who she is and what she has done? When we get together again, we'll talk about the ancestry of the Roman Church. Thank you so much for hanging around today. I've been going through all the books that I've put together, one at a time. We're almost done with that list. Please bear with me. Today's book of the day is called The Road I've Taken. The Road I've Taken. It's about me. It was a little story of the story of my life. It's gleaned from blogs and dramas and the works of some of my favorite writers. It's the story of my own journey, and it's really got to have an update one of these days. But it's this journey was prepared for me by a loving father, and I'm just writing down what has happened thus far. It's not over yet. And now, as I said, a lot to be added. But thank you so much for bearing with me on going through all these books. We've only got about three more, I do believe. Thank you so much. Hey, there's a lot of other things on this website. I do hope, really, that you'll go all the way through the website, check on the different series, and see if there's not something that will bless you on a regular basis. I think so. Just keep looking. Okay, that's it for this time. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. And Lord willing, we'll get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.